What matters today? Niagara in the Morning with Tim Dennis. News Talk 610 CKTB. Filling in is Matt Holmes.
Right now, time to say good morning to Richard Krause, of course, movie critic and host of Pop Life on CTV. Richard, how are you doing?
Good, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm watching South of the Border. You know, last weekend, Fast and Furious had a pretty respectable weekend at the box office. We're closer, aren't we?
Yeah, we are closer. I don't know exactly when we'll be able to sit inside and watch a movie here in Ontario, but in New York, Los Angeles, Quebec, Alberta, I think, BC, you're able to go in and watch movies inside, and people are going. They are socially distanced inside. In many cases, they're still asked to wear masks, but people are responding to it. And so I think when we finally do open here, we'll be fighting for seats at movie theaters, I think.
This mean everybody's going to start to, you know, plan, you know, so I know they got a lot of them already planned, but those blockbusters they've been hanging on to, they're just going to start flooding out or what?
Yeah, I think probably. There are some that are still kind of tentative, but, you know, next weekend, Black Widow, which is one of the movies that Marvel has been sitting on for about a year now, goes to Disney Plus with premium access. So that's coming out. And I think that is kind of like the beginning of what will likely become a season of Marvel movies in theaters, because all these movies are so closely interlocked that you have to release them in a certain order. So Black Widow's been sitting there waiting, and it is the gatekeeper. Once you release that one, then you can expect a flood more of them to come in theaters. So yeah, I think we're in for a year of blockbusters. Probably, you know, every couple of weeks there's going to be a big movie in theaters.
It should be a heck of a lot of fun once we can actually get back in there. Let's look at what's coming out now and start with an animated flick in Boss Baby.
Warning: may cause drooling, babbling, emotional outbursts, fits of laughter, loss of bowel control, chubby thighs. I think some guys at my gym take this stuff.
I'm interested in how this one goes, Richard, because my kids loved the movie, loved the Netflix show. So how is this thing?
Well, this is a sequel to a movie that you mentioned from 2017 about a baby that's born, looks like a baby, but is essentially an adult business person in every other way, voiced by Alec Baldwin, who does a great job in that movie, on the TV show, and now in the sequel, Boss Baby, Family Business, which is in theaters right now. And it's a funny movie that is, like all sequels, a little louder, a little more frenetic, you know, a little bit more action-packed than the original, which might make it hard for some parents. It just might be a little bit too much overload, but I think kids will get a kick out of it. And parents will appreciate some of the kind of subtle jokes that will fly right over the kids' heads.
There were a few of them in the first round of that movie, too.
So yeah.
It was good. Next up on the list, Summer of Soul.
Yeah.
Are you ready to listen to all the beautiful black voices, the beautiful black feeling, the beautiful black waves moving in beautiful air? Are you ready, black people? Are you ready?
Now, this one's in theaters and Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, it is. And this is fantastic stuff. This is my favorite movie of the week. It is directed by Questlove, who we know is the drummer for The Roots, the house band on the Jimmy Fallon show. And he has taken 47 hours of documentary footage from the Harlem Cultural Festival, which happened over six weekends in 1969, in the summer of 1969, and featured absolutely every high-level, very famous African-American band going. So you've got amazing footage of Sly and the Family Stone, of Mahalia Jackson, of The Fifth Dimension, of David Goffin from The Temptations. Just an incredible array of talent. And he has condensed it down to its essence in about a little over 2 hours. And in between the songs and mixed throughout is commentary from people who were actually there on the scene, either in the audience or on the stage, that really set the time and the place and really gives you an interesting sense of what was happening in the world in 1969. It's fantastic stuff. You know, go for the music, stay for the social commentary, but really just turn it up loud and enjoy. It's an incredibly well done concert film.
How did you get that? Because that's a lot of footage for from all that.
Well, it was shot with the eye toward airing it on television, and apparently some of it was aired on television in the day, 1969. And then the tapes just sat in the producer's basement for almost 50 years, unloved and forgotten about, until Questlove found out about them and rescued them and cleaned them up and got them ready for the doc.
Now, it was, you mentioned like they're kind of talking to people that were there. Are some of them from the, you know, the time, like from 69, or is it kind of post?
Well, there is some archival footage that's mixed in that was done in 1969, but there's most of the interviews are today, people looking back at the footage. There's really touching footage of Marilyn Monroe from the Fifth Dimension, and she's watching their performance, and she gets tears in her eyes, and it's a lovely moment to see her kind of reliving this very special performance. And you see a number of those in the film, people that are visibly moved by what they're seeing on the screen. I can't recommend this one highly enough.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. Coming up next, let's go over to Amazon Prime with the Tomorrow War.
We are you. 30 years in the future.
It's okay, sweetie.
We are fighting a war. Our enemy is not human. And we are losing.
How is this one? Because this is Chris Pratt, right?
This is Chris Pratt. This was originally meant for the big screen, and then because of the pandemic, it has now landed on Amazon Prime. It's up there right now. You can see it today. And it's an interesting idea for a movie. So essentially what happens is Chris Pratt is a biology teacher and Iraq war vet who's searching around trying to find a new job, better his life for his family, his wife and daughter. When they're watching television one night and soldiers from 30 years in the future arrive during a big game that they're watching and say, this is a very important message for all of mankind. We're from 30 years in the future and there is a war happening and we are losing it. We need to recruit people from your time to come help us. And Chris Pratt is one of the people that is sent 30 years into the future to fight these space aliens. And then some more things happen that I can't really tell you about without giving away a major spoiler, but suffice to say, it becomes personal for him. And, you know, this is like a lot of ideas crammed into one movie. It's a little bit of a Terminator. It's a little bit of Aliens. It's a little bit of father-daughter drama. There's so much happening here that it feels like they could have narrowed it down, honed the focus a little bit, and probably found the real core of the story and made a movie that feels a little less generic. The characters that we see and we're supposed to really get on board with, we don't ever learn enough about them to really care about them that much. So when terrible things happen, you're just kind of left going, well, I hope they bring the aliens back soon because at least they're interesting.
Okay, when you were going through that, I'm like, I had that Terminator thought in my mind. Unfortunately, because I never say her name right, but Yvonne, I always love her. I know many people remember her, obviously, from Handmaid's Tale, but she's always, to me, Hannah from Dexter. But how is she in this?
She's great in this, and she is one of the key things that drives the movie forward. And again, we're getting into some sticky territory. I don't want to give anything away here. Don't want to ruin it for anybody. But she's very good at the film.
Last one we'll touch on in theaters. How is Zola?
Zola is really good. It is based on a tweet thread, 148 tweets in a row by a woman named Zola who went with a person she had just met on a road trip from Detroit to Florida to dance at a strip club in Florida. And then the weekend turns dangerous after a certain point. And she commented on it. The entire time that it was happening in real time. Now they've taken those tweets, which eventually became an Esquire article, turned it into a film that is darkly funny, that is unexpected. There's a little twist in almost every scene that happens here. Terrific performances. This one is a winner as well. It's called Zola, and it's in theaters.
And will that be on a streaming service for us? Like just video on demand?
It will soon. It will be soon. And drive-ins. I mean, there are drive-ins opening in Ontario. I don't think that it'll hit drive-ins here this weekend, but very soon.
It sounds like we've got lots of options for the drive-in, and hopefully when we can get back indoors. Richard, thanks for the time, and enjoy the weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
There is Richard Krause, host of Pop Life, of course, movie critic, going over some of the movies that you might see on a screen of some kind shortly, including, that Summer Soul one does sound really, really good. Somebody just said that might be a perfect movie. That one does sound really, really good.